for the song to break every chain, that the Lord himself can break. Every chain. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn them with me to Mark chapter 5. We've been having some fun here these past few weeks, at least I have. And we've actually spent some time in Mark 4, at the end of Mark 4 and 5. We sort of skipped over this one section, and y'all may say you miss an important piece, but we didn't miss it. We were planning on having it as we start this new series on today. But if you are with me in Mark chapter 5, let's read together from verse 21. If you don't have it, it should be on the screen here for you. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who was suffering much under the many physicians, and had spent all she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. 27. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. She said, "If I touch even his garment, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd, saying, and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The title of today's message is The Whole Truth. The Whole Truth. We are starting today a new series called To Be Made Whole. To Be Made Whole. The very thought and theme that we want you to leave here with is to know Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jubilee. What is your position? What is your posture? What is your relationship to who? To Jesus, the Messiah of the Jubilee. The larger story about the of Jesus Christ is larger than the Jubilee. John Mark wants us to know and wants us to see Jesus, the Messiah of the Jubilee. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you so much for your goodness, your grace, your love and mercies which surround us every day that's brought us to this place. And we pray, Lord, that you would Help us to find the whole truth this morning, and help us to come to you to be made whole. And so, Lord, I pray that you use your servant right now. I pray that you speak through me, that you use me to bring a message to your people. I pray, Lord, that this word will fall upon good soil, producing 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week has been a tough week for me because I not only had to handle my workload, my daughter, Sarah, has been ill, and she's been sick for this whole entire week, really leading from last Saturday up until now. She's still been sick. She's had, she's been running a fever, and as we've taken her to the doctor and taken her to the hospital, they have not been able to find out what is wrong or what is causing this illness, and they've drawn blood. They've run all kind of tests, and similar to the passage that we're going to look at today, looked at her blood, and her blood did not show any whether it was a viral virus or a bacterial virus or those sorts of things. But they had to study her blood count and how well she was doing. Fortunately, as of yesterday, she is getting better, and she is getting well. But this has been a trying time for my wife and myself, as we have looked at our daughter's situation, and we've looked at our child's situation, and so and we brought her before Jesus. We brought her to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and lifted her up in prayer, laid hands on her, and have been submitting the fact that we can't do anything right now for our child. The Lord, you have to do it. In this passage today, Jairus, a leader within the synagogue, is doing just that. And so as we set the scene, as John Mark sets the scene for what we're going to study today, we have to understand that this story of the woman with the issue of blood is within a larger narrative, the one within Jairus is asking Jesus to come and lay hands on my daughter. My daughter is at the point of death. I need you to come and lay hands on my daughter. Now, it's also in that story, but the whole chapter 5, we find that, and really if you look at the end of chapter 4, which we studied together, Jesus telling his disciples, come on, let's go over to the other side. What we find here is the Jesus is the Lord of Shalom. He's the Lord of peace, right? He calms the storm in which the disciples cannot calm themselves. He calms the storm, but then on the other side of the of the sea, he ends up dealing with the demoniac, right? He ends up healing now the demoniac. There's no one more unclean than the demoniac. It's within the Jewish law, it is unlawful for you to touch a dead body. Not only that, this guy lives in the graveyard of, surrounded by these dead bodies. We see here within this passage, Jesus, the Messiah of the Jubilee, bringing peace and making whole and restoring, bringing peace to the storm, restoring now and making whole the demoniac, casting out demons. And as he goes across here to the other side, we get this story. Jairus is pleading now with Jesus, falling before Jesus, begging him and asking him, would you heal my child? Those are prayers, although my daughter, I don't believe, was at the point of death, but I was praying similar prayers this week. Would you heal my child? But now, inside of this larger narrative, I want us to zone in on another narrative. It's almost as if Jesus is waiting a little bit longer for the daughter to die. It's almost as if he's waiting. I can just see Jairus saying, wait, hold up. Jesus, why don't you just come? What we find here is as Jesus is going to Jairus' house to heal his daughter, the crowds continue to follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, they probably stop Jesus, and they're crowding all around him. They're getting at him. Jesus attracts the crowd. I want you to know today that Jesus is still attracting the crowds. As a matter of fact, this is the sermon hour. All across this nation, all across this world, there are people still coming to Jesus, still attracted to Jesus, still attracted to the power and the message of Jesus. They heard about Jesus, and the crowds now are surrounding Jesus. And what we find here, as the King James says, we find this woman with the issue of blood. Now, this is a very famous passage. You probably know this story and heard this story before. So I'm treading on some very familiar ice here. But I want us to look at this very intently. Verse 25, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, who had suffered under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. The issue of blood. I love the way the King James says it, the issue of blood. This woman had an issue with this blood. This was a physical problem. It was a physical problem because the blood flow is flowing out from her. We understand the blood to be the very principle of life. If you lose enough blood, you what? You die. This woman, for 12 years, has had this issue of blood. The very principles of life are flowing out from her. This problem is not just physical, but it's also been financial, right? It said she spent all that she had. She spent all that she had going to the doctors and the very physicians and trying to get well. Because that's what you do when you're sick, right? We go to the doctor. And so she's spending all that she has. She's spending all of her money. She's spending all of her resources. And yet, for 12 years, she still has this problem. She has another issue. Issue is spiritual. Leviticus 15 says that if a woman is bleeding, then she is unclean. And if you touch the woman who's bleeding, then you are unclean. So a matter of fact, this is not just, it's a spiritual problem, but it's also a social problem because now she's an outcast. She's unclean. She's at the margins of society. So whenever there's a crowd around, she is not supposed to be amongst the crowd. She's supposed to be in the back, in the alley, someplace unseen. She's supposed to be with the other unclean people. This woman had issues. And yes, she has ran out of human options. She's ran out of options that she can conjure up in her mind. For 12 years, she's had this problem. And she hears the news about Jesus, that he's crossed over to the other side. And she comes to see Jesus. The scripture says her situation grew worse. Have you ever been desperate? Have you ever needed to get to somebody who can help you? That's the situation this woman finds herself in. The scripture says she has grown worse and even more desperate. She says, if I could touch even his garments. Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and she came up behind him in the crowd. She had a strategy. That's great. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well or be made whole, right? 29, and immediately the flow of blood dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Luke 8, this story is in all of the synoptic gospels here. So I might go from in between them. Luke 8:44 says she came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. And immediately her discharge of blood ceased. She heard the message. She heard the news that the Christ, the Messiah of the Jubilee, is here. And she believed that he can do something about my problem. He can do something about my problem. But now the people, the crowds are surrounding her and surrounding Jesus. They're touching him. They're pulling at him. And I can just see Jairus wanting to say, come on, come get my daughter. Come on, what you doing? Let's go. The crowd is now surrounded. But she says, if only I touch the hem of his garment. If only I could get to the hem of his garment. If only I could get there. And it says here she went around back and she grabbed hold and touched hold of his garment. And immediately within her body, she was healed. Now, what does it mean to touch the hem of the garment? Now, the scripture does not say that she knew this. As a matter of fact, within her condition, given the fact that she's marginalized, she's supposed to be nowhere around. But here she is, exhausted all of her options. She makes a decision to follow her faith. And she goes and she grabs hold of the hem of his garment. If you have your Bibles, turn them real quickly to Numbers chapter 15. Because I want us to see here what this lady actually did. I want us to see what she actually was able to do. Numbers 15, verse 37. This is some good, I always like reading through Leviticus and Numbers because it's some good preacher stuff, right? He said, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, you know what I mean, some good stuff in there, right? And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the whole people of Israel and tell them, make tassels on the four corners of their garments throughout their generations to put a cord of blue on the tassels of each corner. Verse 39, and it shall be a tassel for you to look and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them and not to follow after your own heart and your eyes, which are inclined to woe after. Excuse me, to whore after, excuse me. So you shall remember all my commandments. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. He says here, put four tassels around the corners of your garment. Put tassels of blue, and these tassels are to represent my word. These tassels are to represent my commands. These tassels are to represent my decrees, which are laid out before you, and to remind you that you walk before me, that you are to remember my word and to do my word, and lean not, as Proverbs 3 says, lean not to your own understanding, for you will go after the way of the world. But these tassels are to keep you in line. These tassels are to remind you that you are mine and that I am yours. These tassels are to remind you of my word. So now we see now, let's take a look now back at our woman with the issue. As she goes towards Jesus, she's grabbing hold to the hem of his garment. She's grabbing hold to the tassel, which is his word. She's grabbing hold to the word of God, which is in the person now of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jubilee. She's saying here, if I can just grab hold of the word of God, if I could grab hold to the word that is on now, the person of Jesus Christ, I myself can be made well. So she does this. But now it doesn't say that the tassel's up here on his head and all of that stuff. The tassels are down here. What does she have to do to get to Jesus? She has to get low. She has to humble herself. She has to get down. She has to crawl. She has to plead. Have you ever wanted or needed something from Jesus? Have you ever desired, your desire is so deep, you're so desperate, you have to get there. And the way to get, you don't care how you get there, as long as you get there. So to get down on my knee, I don't care. I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to get down on my knees and submit myself and go after the word of God that is on the purpose, the perfect replica of God himself. God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and grab hold to the hem of his garment. That's what she did. And it said immediately her blood flow stopped. She was immediately blessed. She was immediately blessed. Now, if we look at it, Jesus says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" Verse 30. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garment?" And the disciples said to him, "You see this crowd pressing around you?" In Luke chapter 8, he said, Peter said, "Man, what you talking about? You see all of this? You see all of these people? How can I answer that question, Lord? You see all of these people pressing around? We're trying to protect you. What do you want to do? What you want from me?" Verse 32, and he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell before him and told him the whole truth. Now, who touched me? Who touched me? The power has left out from me. Everybody else just touches. Now, the people, the crowds are attracted to Jesus. Everybody else is touching him. But now he feels the power leave out from him. He asks the question, "Who touched me?" Now it said that she sees that she had not been unnoticed. She's unclean. She's not supposed to be here. She was supposed to sneak up here and do this, and she's supposed to get out, and her blood flow is supposed to stop. She's blessed, and she's supposed to go happily ever after. But that's not what happened. Jesus asked a question, "Who touched me?" Now, that's not even a great question for me, because I'm thinking Jesus is God himself, right? Jesus is God himself. Yes, he's fully human and he's fully God. And there's this great mystery of when is he human and when is he God? When he eats, he's human. And when he's doing miracles, he's God. I mean, I'm trying to figure this out. What's going on? Jesus is fully human, fully God. He's supposed to know who touched him, but he asked the question, "Who touched me?" Now, I'll submit to you, I believe he probably knew who touched him. He probably understood who touched him, but now this is a teaching moment for the rest of the crowd. "Teacher, rabbi," he turns into. He says, "Who touched me?" And I can see the crowd stop, all of the grabbing and clawing at Jesus, and things start to cease. And this lady comes down and kneels before him, as John Mark wrote, in fear and trembling. And she kneels down, and the scripture says she begins now to tell him the whole truth. The whole truth. She begins now to tell Jesus the whole story. "For 12 years I've been in this condition. We don't know what happened before. We don't know what happened after. All we know is we have these details. For 12 years she's been in this condition." And she shares with Jesus the whole truth. Now, you may be saying, "I wish that that happened for me like that. I wish that Jesus would heal me like that, or he would relieve my stress, or he would relieve my woes, or he would bring me out of my condition." You have to remember she got low. You have to remember she was desperate. You have to remember that she went after Jesus. But you also have to remember that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for you and for me, the believer. Jesus wants to do this work, this very same work in your life today. But you have to have a certain position. You have to have a certain posture. Now, many of us, now, she's already blessed. She could have ran. Her blood flow stopped. She could have ran. She could have left. She could have ran away. She was already scared. What do scared people do? They run, right? But that's not what she did. She came to Jesus, and she told Jesus the whole truth. Read a story this week about a little old lady who could have been a church just like this one, who received the word of God. Matter of fact, she was a housekeeper, a little old lady. She didn't make a whole lot of money, and as a matter of fact, she had an odor. And as she came up she came up after the altar call. She came up during the altar call, and she came up to join this church. She wanted to join the church, and the pastor said to her, "You know, what are you come here for?" She said, "I want to join the church, and I want to be baptized." And the pastor looked at her, and he made judgment upon her. He looked at her, and he saw her, and he said, "Lady, why don't you just pray about it? Why don't you pray up whether or not you want to be baptized and whether you want to join this church. Come back next week." He thought he had gotten rid of her, because he looked at her and he said to other people in the congregation, "What would they think if I baptized this lady and if this lady joined this church?" And so she came back next week, and she came right down the altar at the altar call, and she said, "I want to join this church." And he did the same thing again. He said, won't you go back and pray about it and be real, real sure. Well, that's the very same week, he saw her in the grocery store one evening, and she said, she says to him, "Pastor, don't worry about baptizing me." And as he was just coming up to say hello and all of that, he was shocked that she did not want to be baptized. And she says, he said to her, "Well, why do you now not want to be baptized?" She says, "Because I spoke to Jesus." She says, "Oh, well, what did Jesus?" He says, "What did Jesus say?" He said, "Don't worry about trying to get in that church, because I've been trying to get in that church for a long time too." The crowds are surrounding Jesus and are attracted to Jesus. They're pulling at him, they're pawing at him, they're actually touching him. But the power didn't leave out from him until she touched him. Until she grabbed the very hem and very edge of the garment. I told you the title of today's message is "To Be Made Whole," to be made well. In verse 33, she came in fear and in trembling, and she told the whole truth. Now, there's something happens when you tell the whole truth. There's something that happens when you confess your sin and you make your confession and you lay your whole self out before God. There's nothing left to hide. She shares with Jesus the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter." Oh man, that's so beautiful. Now, there's something that happened in between the beginning now and now towards the end. He calls her daughter. Her relationship with Jesus now has changed. Daughter, your faith has made you well. I really like this, because I see the same thing that happens at 18 through verse 20, when the when a demon-possessed man wants to go to Jesus. He wants to go with Jesus. Man, you have made me well. I want to hang with you. I want to spend time with you. And he sends him out. He sends them back to the 10 cities and said, go and tell your friends what happened to you and who did it to you, who did it for you. Jesus called her to testify. How often have you been blessed? Have you been blessed? Something has happened to you. You've been blessed. But it's hard to find a person to testify. Gerald, I'm proud of you, brother. Because it's hard to find a person to testify. It's hard to find a person that's willing to tell the whole truth about themselves. Jesus invited her to testify and tell the whole truth of what has happened. Well, I want to give an application today. Twofold application. Because she didn't get made well until she told the whole truth. She was blessed. And people come, we come to Jesus, and we come here, we want a new car, we want to pay our bills, we want to do all of that, and we come to Jesus to get blessed. Or do we come to be made whole? The difference between that is telling the whole truth. I believe the Holy Spirit led Jalees here today and just saying, let's confess our sins together corporately. Let's allow these things to go. And then the song, Break Every Chain. Let's allow these things to go so that the chains in our life can be broken. The application today is to grab hold to God of God's word. Grab hold of God's word, which is tied to the garment of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jubilee. And to have such a relationship, part two of the application, have such a relationship that you're willing to continue to tell the whole truth of what's happening within your life. Allow your relationship and your time that's spent with Jesus, that you continue to share the whole truth. This week, I'm thinking about my daughter, I'm thinking about my child. What have I done wrong that I'm in this situation, that my daughter, my own child, who doesn't deserve this, is in this situation? I proceeded to try to tell the whole truth of what's going on in my life to God. I invite you, I ask you as an application, grab hold to his word, grab hold to his commandments. To tell the whole truth, the whole story. Amen.
Like we'll never be, and sometimes every one of us aches. Like we'll never be saved sometimes. Let your healing come when there's nothing left. Let your healing come till we're rising up. Let your healing come, and where you go, we will follow. And where you go, we will follow. Whoa. And it's your love that we endure. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you. We're lost in you. And it's your love that we endure. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you. We're lost in you. Sometimes it's like we'll never atone for all the love we've known. Sometimes, like in a smile or a song, when we feel love come, then that feeling's gone. It flies. Let your healing come. When there's nothing left, let your healing come. Till we're rising up, let your healing come. Where you go, we will follow. And where you go, we will follow. Whoa. Love that we endure. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you. We're lost in you. It's your love that we endure. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you. We're lost in you. And it's your love that we endure. It's like a sea without a shore. We're lost in you. We're lost in you. When we've given up, let your healing come. When there's nothing left, let your healing come. Till we're rising up, let your healing come. Where you go, we will follow. I'm on my knees. Where you go, we will follow. Oh, God, send me. God, today, we want to be in your presence. And we want to allow you to heal us. Father, as we sing this last song, we know that when we heal, when you heal us, you call us not to just sit in that and to celebrate who you are, but to then go and tell the story of our healing and tell the story of how incredible that was to be sick and to be broken, but then to be made whole again. We want to be part of that story, God. We want to be part of that story. Would you stand with us as we sing our last song?
Together, healing people, we need. Giving honor to our.
don't know if, yeah, it's on. That larger narrative, the woman is healed, but yet the people come to Jairus and say, don't bother the Lord anymore. Don't bother the teacher anymore, for your daughter is now dead. Jesus responds, if you just have the same faith as this woman, your daughter will be healed. And her daughter was healed. Let's have that same faith as this woman, daughter with the issue of blood. She has no name. She could be just like you and me. Amen. Greet one another as you leave.